Hi friends, Professor Venkat here again, taking you to chapter 7. After we discuss in chapter number 6 about selection of trainers, the next topic we are discussing in this chapter is methods of training. What are the different ways in which the delivery can be done? We are getting into that part of it right now. What are the objectives? The objective is to understand the different methods of training. Training is falling under three different categories based on which you are addressing. One is cognitive, second is behavioral, and the third one is management development program, popularly called as MDP, management development program, right? So let's proceed with this. Cognitive methods involve theoretical learning. Underline the word theoretical. It involves providing the rules of how to do something, written or verbal information, draw relationships among abstract concepts. Okay, so in a cognitive method training, we are giving theoretical inputs only. The thinking, the cognition is based on thinking. Cognition means thinking. Mental maps of thinking. You create 1 plus 1, you say 2. I am holding this pointer in the hand. So when I press the pointer, the slide changes. When I press it further, this next slide comes. So this is a cognitive learning which I am talking about. Theoretical part of it. It involves providing the rules of how to do something, written or verbal information, draw relationships among abstract concepts. Primarily, cognitive method is associated with changing in knowledge and attitude by the stimulating learning. Now, attitude towards the knowledge, not the behavioral attitude. I know something about the laptop functioning. But when somebody is giving me a cognitive learning on laptop, then my attitude towards the laptop will change. Right? The various methods, how do we approach, how do we give cognitive learning to people? Through lectures. Simple. Speak on a topic. Imparting theoretical knowledge to the listener is a fundamental building block of training. So all learning starts with a lecture or somebody talks about it and you keep on listening. Second is demonstrations. I show you by action. This training is through action of how something works. A prototype, a model. Emphasis is on the action and results and less on the theoretical knowledge. I know something about motor cars. I actually give you a small demonstration about how a car operates. So you see the action and you know this is how it operates. That's a learning, cognitive learning. Discussions. These are lectures with the context supported, elaborated, explained or expanded through interactions among trainees and between trainer and trainees. Discussion. So there are a number of people sitting there. I say something, they say something, we have an interaction, and in and through the interaction there's a learning that takes place. In a discussion mode, a lot of cross-learning takes place. The learning need not take place from the person who's talking, but it can also take place among the people who are there. That is cross-learning. Unlike a lecture, which is one-way communication, discussion is a two-way flow of communication. Everybody is allowed to discuss, ask and tell questions and answers. Very common today, computer-based training, CBT. With advances in technology and shrinking time frames, CBT has gained a lot of ground. With that, the demand for knowledge and skilled employees have increased, putting pressure on HR department to provide low-cost training. Many organizations are now implementing CBT as an alternative to classroom-based training. The recent advancement in CBT has resulted in Intelligent Tutorial Systems, ITS. We'll be talking about it now, which uses artificial intelligence to assist in training, AI. The trainee learns through his or her responses. So let's get on and see what it means. Features of an intelligent tutorial system. It's a name given, but you'll know what it is as I talk about it. It selects the appropriate level of instructions for the participants. How much of instruction we need to give them? On what topic, etc. It guides the trainees. Do this, do this, do this. Go to this page, press F1, press F2, blah, blah, blah. So it's making the trainee simply follow some instructions. It is text-based. So there's a text. And You have to read the text and take it further. It also evaluates the training program. After you finish one chapter, there may be some MCQs, multiple choice questions. You have to answer them and immediately you get a feedback evaluating the training program. It also improves the methodology for teaching the trainee based on the information. So in a ITS, your way of learning as a trainee improves because the information that comes to you is tested. It's properly structured. It's properly researched. It's an interactive system. Both trainee and the trainer interact. It determines the trainee's level of understanding. One of the things which we do in vSchool for the distance learning hybrid course is a virtual class which we run at night from 7 to 9:30. I'm one of the faculty. And are we not doing this intelligent tutorial system? It is. So we create a text. We put the PPT. Some of us use PPT. Some of us don't use it. And then we are interactive with you and me. There's a chat box in which you start putting your questions. Sometimes you come on a channel and talk to us. Intelligent tutorial systems. It comprises five components. Domain expert, the person who's written the book on the subject. I teach a subject called Innovation Management Semester 2. So the domain expert, it has been written by somebody else, a colleague of mine. So the domain expert has written the book. The trainee model, it stores the information on how the trainee is performing during the training program. The trainee model means we have a system by which at the end of every chapter which we cover in the virtual class, we have MCQs given, multiple choice questions, and we ask questions. So we know how he's progressing. A scenario generator, somebody who has to generate a scenario. You're sitting away from the trainer in your own home, your office, and you're learning online. So in an online learning, we need to create a scenario. It's more like a storytelling. The imagination starts triggering off with the theory which I'm giving you. So you start relating it. A training session manager interprets trainees' responses and responds either with the tutoring, more content or information. So you get a training, you get a person called a training session manager will ensure that while the training is going on, this person who's got X responses, we need to give him more input. That's what he wants. Somebody else has already given input, so they try to calibrate and monitor what's going on. And the user interface allows the trainees to communicate with the intelligent tutorial system. Domain expert, trainee model, scenario generator, training session manager, and a user interface. The training session manager also acts like a coordinator when the training is going on or the online session is going on, right? Programmed instructions, very common. We all heard about it long back. Program instructions is a computer-based training that comprises graphics, multimedia, text that's connected to one another and stored in memory. I want to discuss the population of Mumbai in different parts of Mumbai. So I can have a program instruction, computer-based, graphics of each part, Dadar, Matunga, Lower Parel, etc. I can have a multimedia type of arrangement in that. And the text that is connecting one to the other. So I want to know what's the population of South Mumbai. So I have to define what is South Mumbai, then I get through. So program, it gives you the, in a very systematic manner, it's structured. So program instruction is a procedure of guiding the participants strategically through the information in a way that produces the most effective and efficient learning. It provides the participant with content information, ask questions based on the answer takes to the next level of information and so on. Okay. These methods allow the trainee to go through the content according to the individual speed and capability. Program instruction also come in the form of books, tapes, interactive videos, and other formats. In PI, trainees receive information in substantial amounts and then are tested on their retention of their information. In program instruction, trainees receive information in substantial amounts. Lots of information is available. Then are tested on their retention of their information. Then you're tested on how much of information you really know, right? What are the features of program instructions? It provides immediate feedback to the trainee response. It frequently reviews the content. It programs small learning steps that results in fewer response errors. It allows trainees to move through the content at their own speed or capability. It requires frequent active responses by the trainees. Which comes to your mind as I'm talking to you? When you're driving, you're putting on the map, the Google map, right? And there's a voice command that keeps telling you, turn left, turn right, we have come to this road 20 feet from now. Have you come across that? Is that program instruction or not? Check out, right? Now we come to virtual reality. There's the in thing today, VR. It's a training method that puts the participants in a three-dimensional environment. The 3D environment stimulates situations. It should be simulate, okay? Simulate, not stimulate. Situations and events that are experienced in the job. It creates situations and events that are experienced in the job. You go through a 3D experience. The participant interacts with the 3D images to accomplish the training objectives. Some of you must be playing 3D virtual reality games. You must be knowing it better. This type of environment is created to give the trainee the impression of physical involvement in the environment. To experience virtual reality, the trainee wears devices like a headset, gloves, treadmills, etc. VR provides trainees with an understanding of the consequences of their actions in the work environment by interpreting and responding to the trainee's actions through its accessories. So when you're into a virtual reality experience, you have to gear up yourself with certain accessories. One is a headset that provides audio and visual information. Gloves for providing tactile information, touch information. Treadmills, just as you have a treadmill on which you're doing your cardio, for creating the sense of movement. Sensory devices transmit how the trainees are responding to the virtual workplace, to the computer. This allows the virtual reality system to respond by changing the environment appropriately. So those of you who have gone to the virtual reality games, you know what I'm talking. Those of you who haven't gone through this, you have to realize that this is a type of a condition created by hijacking you, inverted commas, hijacking you into a world of 3D. And depending upon the responses, it will give you feedback you are in the right direction or the wrong direction. Is gaming coming into this when we do gaming? Consider that. Think about it. Is gaming all about virtual reality? You got some people coming here, killing somebody, miming somebody, you run after that person, you are the person who's doing the with your joystick or whatever. Think about it. Now we discuss video training. Whenever there's a need to impart information and also demonstrate certain skills, performance to a distant learning audience, virtual audience, we resort to video training. Video training, being a visual medium of instruction, covers visual illustrations, animations, recorded talks and lectures, and pictorial graphics. When you buy something from Amazon, you're buying an electronic device or something, you must have seen video, small videos are there, you know, you just put it on, it tells you how to open it, unbox it, how to use it, etc. Isn't it? That's a video training. Video training can be available online and also offline in the form of CD and such storage devices. You can have a real-time video training like we do in the virtual class when the faculty is there on the video and there's a delivery going on online in real time. Or it can be what I'm recording right now is a offline video training that is given to you when you see my video at your home. Video training, however, is a one-way communication system, and since there are no interactions, clearing doubts and solving problems is absent. Okay, it's a one-way communication. Video training can be best employed as an add-on to enhance the main training program with additional inputs. If I can talk about a subject, learning and development book I've written, that's your textbook which you follow, you read the book. To augment that, I'm talking to you and these are the video lessons of the corresponding chapters. So it's a additional input, it's an add-on to the textbook. The cost of developing video training packages is quite expensive and is considered feasible when the outreach is large enough in terms of payback economics. It involves technology, it involves, you know, hiring a place, It includes the trainer's time, the person who delivering. So all these things will take quite a bit. It's quite expensive. If this particular expense is seen as a cost, and if you're catering to more number of audience, then the cost and whatever you're getting as fees from the audience will be counterweight. It's worth it, right? Videos, despite copyright protective methods, could be duplicated and plagiarized. This is a very sad thing, plagiarizing. Despite all the tight copyright acts, people are still doing it. The inputs from the video training may be interpreted differently by different learners. And the absence of two-way interaction, the interpretations could defeat the very purpose of the video. This happens many times. When you see a video, or even when you read any material, reading material, you interpret it your way. And sometimes you interpret it without even asking questions whether what I interpreted, is it in line with what you're telling me? I have some students who call me up sometimes and they ask me, sir, you said this in the video in organization behavior topic. Sir, what exactly do you mean by that? Very few of them ask this because they interpret it differently. Now, this interpretation of people who view the video independently without the interaction of the trainer becomes a challenge. So, when I am talking here to y'all, I have to ensure as much as possible, it's not totally possible, but as much as possible to see that most of you understand what I'm talking so that there is no misinterpretation. Choice of right words, choice of taking you to the topic in a way in which most of you understand, making it simpler, those skills I need to develop and put into action. Like any emotional picture, video lectures need to be kept interesting, retaining the attention and the interest of the viewer to watch it till the end. There's a type of a notion among certain people that in any type of video lecture, you need to have additional graphics and some, you know, pictures and all that. And for the sake of it, they add it without any relevance. I would say if a graphic or a picture or a clip is in relevance with the video training, then do it. Otherwise, don't. There are times when those become distractions to the flow of what the trainer is trying to tell you, right? Now we come to the second one, behavioral method. When trainees are required to have inputs that focus on a expected behavior change, we resort to behavioral methods of training. The first one we talked about was cognitive, only knowledge. Here we talk about the change in the behavior of the person. Essentially, behavioral training focuses on skills development, skills being repeated behavior till it gets into capability and competence. Under the behavioral approach, various forms of interactive individual and group sessions are resorted to. These fall under the broad category of games and simulations. When you play a game, we'll come to that now. So here we are discussing games and simulations. Games and simulations are conducted in the following forms. You must be knowing many of them, I'm sure. Business games, role plays, in-basket technique, using equipments, simulation and case studies. Business games, simulation is the process by which we create similar conditions at the workplace. Here we are discussing business games. A business game, as the name indicates, is a mock session recreating certain business scenarios to make the participants get the feel of the role they are supposed to play. One of the very popular business games is a stock market business game. Some of you must have gone through it. You know, you recreate the stock market conditions and give people certain mock money in the beginning, tell them to buy some shares, and you tell them that at the end of the session, you must make the maximum profits. The person who makes the maximum profits gets a prize. And as the game progresses, you start giving them events. And for every event, the stock prices will go up or down. You have to anticipate it and then play the game. So what are we doing in a stock market business game? You're trying to simulate. You're trying to bring the business thing into here. So here the purpose is, as the name indicates, the profits or the sales that you need to augment. You have to learn how to simulate a business. That is a business game. In simulation technique is slightly different. We'll come to that later. Okay. A business game as the name indicates, is a mock session recreating certain business scenarios to make the participants get the feel of the role they are supposed to play. It could be the role that you're playing in your company. It's simulated in the business game. Let's say you're a materials manager who's supposed to buy materials A category, B category, C category. Then a game is created wherein you get a hang about the same condition that are prevailing in the marketplace when you go to buy materials in the software, and then you start playing the game. So you get a hang of it. The participants are given certain inputs in a certain setting, and a goal or a target has to be achieved, similar to what you do at the workplace. A certain time period is allocated to which the simulation activities are put into action. There's a time period. As the time rolls by, it should be, as the time rolls by, R-O-L-L-S it should be, by certain announcements are made in line with what actually happens in business scenarios, and the participants are supposed to respond and take decisions. The business simulation rolls down till the end, and a debriefing is done by the trainer at the end. This is exactly what I talked about, the stock market game, wherein at the end we say, okay, this is a person, and then we ask questions. What made you buy this share? What made you sell this share? This event, how did you interpret it? That's exactly what we do. This business simulation is intellectual in nature. When you go to the simulation, it's slightly different, right? So let's take it further. In debriefing, the participants are engaged into questions like, what did you learn? Where can it be applied? Are there other possibilities? What's your new learning as a take home? Business games simulate leadership skills, management approach, understanding quality and certain principles and concepts through actions. Since in most cases, it's a group activity and does not involve real business risk, the learning is rapid, fulfilled and effective in terms of retention, recall and application back at the workplace. These business games are usually in a group. And since it's a group, there's a lot of peer pressure, peer motivation. People learn faster. And they are able to convert that into skills at the workplace, which is needed. It's very common in industry to conduct business games training. Now we come to role plays. As the name indicates, role plays are simulation games in which a scenario is created and roles are assigned for each of the participant to play. One is supposed to get into the shoes of the role. What are we doing? There's a manager or a supervisor and an employee. So you play the role of the supervisor. You have to play the role as if you're the supervisor. A script is given to you and you start narrating it. So in a role play, just like you play a role in a movie or a drama, you start getting into the character himself. So you'll start getting a feel about what it is to be a supervisor when you play a role. That's the purpose. These roles are again reflection of actual roles played in the organization, and hence the learning is both cognitive as well as effective. What is cognitive? Thinking process. You get knowledge. Effective is about behavior. Your effective, your emotions, everything that you go through. So when I play a role, I get into the emotion of the role. So that is how the enactment becomes very effective to the observer. And that's exactly what happens in a role play. So there's a supervisor. There's a subordinate. You play the role of a supervisor. After some time, you may also do a role reversal. So you become the employee, and your employee who's playing the role of the employee, he'll come and become a supervisor. So both of you understand what it means being in the shoes of that particular role that you're playing in the organization. That gives you immense amount of insights to know what I'm expecting and what I'm actually doing are two different things. Role plays help in developing interpersonal skills. It facilitates conflict resolution, behavior, encourages group decision making, and most importantly, make the participant individually gain an insight into his or her behavior and its impact on others. There are various types of role plays we come across. One is a multiple role play. Groups are formed and each group acts the role play simultaneously. After the role play, each group analyzes the interactions and identifies the learning points. So one group will be playing the role of organization, given the script. Another group will also be playing the role of an organization, same script, but both of them may play differently because they have different strategies. Then there's a cross-learning. Single role play, one group of participants play a role for the rest, providing the demonstration of situation. You will be singled out willingly when you want to come, and they'll say, okay, you play the role of the manager, and others will be participating, you as a manager, right? Single role. Role, it should be R-O-L-E, role rotation. Role rotation, it starts with a single role play, after which the participants interact, discussions take place, and then the characters are exchanged. That is what is role reversal or rotation. Okay? Spontaneous role play. In this, the roles are played without any preparation. Suddenly you get up and say, I want to play this role, because you feel there is some connectivity to the role. You want to say something being in the role. That is not the role which you are actually playing in the company, but you may want to play a different role to get the feel of it. It may come spontaneously. This is one of the best things to happen, right? Now we come to in-basket technique. This technique involves a list of date-marked log of written text or information such as memos, messages and reports that are handled by managers, the reporting officers, etc. A list of date-marked log, that means chronologically. Say from 1st of the month to the 30th of the month, whatever you have done, all those things are given as a list. In this technique, the trainee is given some information about the role to be played. This is a role you are supposed to play. It's told to him and the list is given to him. The log of materials that make up the in-basket is given and he is asked to respond with certain time. In the next about say 10 minutes or 15 minutes, you better give us a response. After the trainee is complete the in-basket exercise, debriefing is done followed by feedback and suggestions. This technique ensures that every participant has necessarily to accumulate the entire information and hence communicate with everyone to take suitable decision. So the entire list that is given to him or her, they have to go through it and then communicate to people. What's the purpose? The purpose is to see that those people are in a position to understand how the thing flows on a chronological order, and hence they will be in a position to know how to complete the task in the best possible manner.